And the cries of our hearts for those, that would be really good, because this will bring us strength for this morning. So, Psalm 27. I'm looking down here, and if I can read it, I'll stay at the mic, otherwise I'll need to read a big star now. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. Of his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Amen. I wonder if there was a verse as we were reading it, we thought, that's what I'm going to be thinking about all this week. I have to say that what I've prepared for today is far too long. And I think the Lord has needed to say things to me through this psalm. And I'm going to spare you. So I'm praying, Lord, that I say the words from what I've prepared are for this setting. For the people that are here, for Ruth and others listening. Lord, by your amazing grace, may the words that come out now be the ones that you need to land. And may they take root, and may they sustain for this week. We pray in your name. Amen. This psalm is full of tremendous promises, but realism too. And this psalmist is in distress. And there is that feeling of distress at the moment. The verse I want to concentrate on, and you could have it perhaps up, Tony, is verse 4, because I think the secret is there. There's three things that the psalmist says we need to be thinking about. Dwelling, gazing, and seeking. That's what I want to look at. So if you think it's too much in this psalm and you're not sure which of those verses you would concentrate on, I'm concentrating on verse 4. That's what I'm chewing over and reflecting on. And I found it really, really challenging this week. Oh, always say that, you know, people preparing a sermon get more from it than the listeners, and that's very much my story this week. Dwelling. Let's look at dwelling. One thing I ask of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Well, one thing I want you to realise in this, that David was not speaking about the temple. He wasn't speaking about a physical space, because only the Levites could live there. No one could live in the Holy of Holies. What he's wanting to do is to dwell in the and experience the unbroken presence of God. That's what he's after, seeking the face. I want to gaze on your beauty. I want to be in your presence. David says, I want to always be in your presence. Dwell, abide, stay, rest, wait. And you might think, well, of course, well, God's everywhere. What on earth are you talking about? We're in his presence. What do you mean, dwell in his presence? So I've got an illustration for you which might help. So if you think today, we have been in the presence of Teresa, Doug, and Wayne. We've been in their presence. But most of us arrived far long after they were set ready to play. And so you haven't seen them yet. You haven't looked in their face and said hello and been in their presence. You've been in their presence, but you haven't really met with them. It's quite a helpful picture, I hope. The face is the sort of opening to their heart, isn't it? If you can be with someone, and that's why we love gathering to be together, because we can actually communicate so much more richly than if we're just... Sorry, Ruth, I can see her there. If you're distant on a screen, perhaps. This is what David is saying. I don't want to know you distantly. I don't want to obey you in a very general way. I don't want to know about you. I want to know you. That's what I want. And one of the things I've been learning about this is some of the teachings of St. Augustine. And he wrote quite a bit about anxiety, it turned out. He was a great African theologian of the church. He was in the 4th and 5th century, busy. And he had a really interesting way to look at anxiety, because he said, and if you think about Psalm 27, there's quite a lot of distress and anxiety in it. All of us have good things in our lives. We love them. We desire them. So if you think, you know, if you have become a parent, you think, wow, children are such good things. Or you may think, wow, I've had a chance to travel. Isn't that amazing? Or I've got this great career, or I've got a romance bubbling. All sorts of things are good things. But Augustine warns us that those good things can become a one thing, and we just gaze on them. We just think about the good thing in our life, and we begin to make them into an idol for us. It might be our family, it might be our house, it might be our allotment. It might be something that just takes over. And when these good things become your one thing, what happens when it goes? What happens when it's shaken? You realise that actually you've been worshipping an idol. It's been in the face of God, that one thing. And another picture which might help you take this in, it helped me. Anxiety is like the smoke, and you follow the smoke down to the fire. Anxiety is the result of the collapse of that thing. When good things become one things, and you have to have them, then that thing becomes the centre, not God. Think about the smoke and the fire. You need to think about anxiety, perhaps fear, as a sign of the collapse of the false god. And what do you need to do? You need to put God back there. Some of us squirm at the thought of this. I did. You're worried about how you're going to feed your family. You're worried about what the future holds. It's hard, isn't it? And then you realise, I'm worrying because I'm thinking about those things. They have become my one thing that I'm worried about rather than God. And so easily those things can go into the centre rather than the Lord. I know anxiety can be a good thing because it shows that we care. You can hear it in me today. I care about what's going on in Ukraine. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But let it not be the central thing. Because how on earth am I going to survive this week if all I'm doing is worrying about that? We need to, what's the word we're taking? Dwell. We need to dwell in the presence. Nothing can take God away from us. And if that's true, then we become fearless. Because we have God at the centre. We dwell with him in his everlasting presence. Okay, I'm going to skip, because I've got tons to say on that. I'm going to go to my next word. I've got another 3 pages of that. Okay, so dwell. Dwell. Don't make anxiety over things that don't matter become the centre. Augustine would say, that is a false god. We've got an idol. You need to put God at the centre by dwelling in his presence. Secondly, gaze. This is beautiful, isn't it? Gaze on the beauty. David says, I've come to the temple to gaze on your beauty. Is he thinking about a physical face? I don't think so. I think it's a metaphor. Even Moses didn't see the physical face of God. He wasn't allowed, was he? Now, you could say, oh, we've had Jesus since, so we can perhaps think about face. But really what he's saying here is, what does it mean to gaze on beauty? It's about communion with God. It's that difference between knowing about God and knowing him. It's a difference about, oh, it's just understanding and experiencing his holiness and his love. We get the truth from the Bible, we see it, we learn it. Let's take one of these verses this week and learn it and keep reflecting on it. We get to know it. What does that verse tell me about God? What does it show me about God? Does it show me how marvelous he is, how holy he is, how loving he is? Do I understand it? Ooh, am I living that out? What false attitudes or emotions do I have when I forget this? We sing that beautiful song, I want to see you, I want to see you. And we don't mean a face, do we? We want to see with our eyes of our heart, as Paul talks about it in Ephesians. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us, but you know what the Holy Spirit does? It can comfort us, it can help us, but it can also challenge and thrill us, moving in us. Okay, so what are we going to do? Gazing on the beauty of something, it takes over in our imagination. Think about gazing on the beauty of the Lord. And don't think about your funny dreams of, oh yes, I'd like to do this or do that. I'd like to be this or be that. Gaze on his beauty. And in that way, God will become your one thing. Otherwise, you will have a fearful life. So we dwell, we gaze on the beauty, and thirdly, we seek. I want to seek him. The seek in this Hebrew verse, in this verse in Hebrew, is very specific. It actually means go and get counsel, go and get advice, go and get instruction. And the Lord wants us to go to him to get counsel so that we follow him. so that we obey him, so that we are his hands and his feet. Do you remember blind Bartimaeus? Thinking about how do we seek? I love this. So blind Bartimaeus, he knew that Jesus was coming. So he went to the road, he pitched his tent there, and he just cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me." If you want to experience the beauty of God, do you want to gaze on his beauty? Do you want to dwell with him? Do you want to seek him? Don't go rushing around here, there, and everywhere. Be like Bartimaeus. Pitch your tent on the road. Jesus will come, and the road of obedience will be shown to you. I love that from Bartimaeus. Seek. He was seeking, but he stopped and he waited. And we too can do that. So of course, when we are seeking, there are disciplines that we can use. We can read the Bible, we can pray, we can meditate, we can take the sacraments of communion and church. Those are inner disciplines that we can do to seek. But there can be outer disciplines. Think about your response to the Ukraine. Have you looked up Sanctuary Foundation online? If you want a way, people who are saying yes, if you want a way to register your interest in helping in this country, look at the work that Krishkandaya is beginning to mobilize Christians saying, yes, I want to help. Maybe it's that you think, do you know what, I really want to give some of my finances at the moment. This is an outer discipline of seeking the Lord. Well, I can commend to you a charity that is close to my heart because one of my tutors at college is involved in it. He's married to a Ukrainian. He's been to Poland to bring family members back. He lives just down the road in Horley, Joshua Searle. And he is a trustee of Dnipro Hope Mission. And look up their website and you'll hear stories of what is happening through the work of that small Christian charity. They're mobilising and helping support the Christians there in the humanitarian work that's going on. So be simple in our lifestyle, not materialistic. Be forgiving instead of bitter. Our outer discipline of being servant-like, not ambitious and selfish. Obey, seek him, and your gaze on his beauty. Skip, 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 skip. The Bible is an antidote to our anxiety. But it's not a patch. It's not a plaster. It's not a quick fix. So if you're thinking there, sitting, listening, it's all very well, Mari, this dwell, this gaze, this seek, but what about my terrible thing that's going to come in my life on Thursday? That's 4 days away. What are you talking about? I've got too much anxiety to worry about that. I can't give a quick fix to dwelling, to gazing, to seeking. But I can tell you that regeneration, a new heart, a new way of life, a new way of doing comes as we take that time. I think for someone like me, it's going to be a lifelong journey. But to dwell, to gaze, to see. And we all know that old cliche of the Chinese proverb, I think it is, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So I think my first step this week, maybe it's yours this morning, is to say one thing. Finally, Lord, I'm going to make you the one thing. I'm going to make you my highest priority. And as I do that, I will be less fearful for other things. Today, I determine that gazing on your beauty and seeking you means that I will no longer let other things crowd you out of my schedule. No other thing will crowd out of giving my energy. I can no longer let other things crowd out my creativity. Today you're the one thing. I'll make time for you. I will do it. That's the first step. And I turn my eyes to my Ukrainian brothers and sisters in Christ, and I pray for them that they will have that one thing, that it will be the Lord that is sustaining them. Let's say that verse as I finish together. May it be an anthem for you this week. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple.